Well, look, here's what I think is important. The job doesn't get easy. The job stays difficult.
I mean, no one is ever going to come and tell you that you've done too much and you need a break. That never happens. There's always more to be done. The TV media never gets full. It's always hungry.
In photojournalism, you have to practice a lot. You're working for the decisive moment.
To be a good journalist, you have to have your own code of ethics and you have to have your own code of behavior that ultimately you can live with if it doesn't get you the results that you need for your work.
Welcome to the series finale of Dear Journalist. This is a show where we talk with longtime Canadian journalists about their careers. They'll share with us some of the lessons they've learned from their years in the field. I'm Hannah Rocanti.
I'm Christina Appa.
And I'm Yasuo Ho. For our last episode, we don't exactly have a guest to interview and then ramble about. Instead, we're skipping straight to the rambling.
The three of us are going to share some things we learned this year and reflect on our 4 years here at J School. So stick around because we have a lot to say.
Here's our conversation on the final episode of Dear Journalist. So, welcome, the three of us. We're here, we're chilling, we're just having a good time. So, at the beginning of the semester, we all volunteered to work on one of the... Well, not at the beginning of the semester.
Not me.
Christina joined second semester.
Yes.
But at the beginning of the semester, a bunch of us decided that we would volunteer on the podcasts, mm-hmm. even though we don't, like, work. Like, our position isn't technically the podcast. Like, Yasuo is a copy editor. Christina's also a copy editor, and I'm the head of research. But we just kind of, like, volunteered to do it for fun.
Yeah.
So... how did we all feel about it? Did you guys have any, like, prior podcasting experience? I know the extent of mine was Met Radio. I hadn't done, like, proper podcasting, though, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mine was I took the podcasting basics with Janice.
Stop. I dropped
year.
That because dropped I looked that. At the outline and I was like, I can't.
The outline? Really?
Is that the one where you have to put out an episode every week?
Oh, no. What?
Oh. Oh my, there's a third year class where you have to put out an episode every week. And I looked at the outline and I said,
No,
I'm not built for this.
It was really basic. Like, they drove in the fact that it's for beginners or no one. Because the assignments were just like, take any story that you find interesting and try to make it into a podcast. Like, it's the first episode in your podcast series and stuff like that. And that was really fun because you could really do anything you want. So when it came to the
what
review.
What did you do?
I did a story about...
Can I guess?
Try. Yeah.
Was it about video games?
Oh, no.
Feature is. I copy edited it.
I fact checked it. Look at us coming together, even outside this podcast.
Literally.
My, what was it? The final project for that podcast class was that I was like, hey, maybe I should do something about street musicians in the TTC. And that was pretty difficult because... because it was just like after COVID, they were still trying to get back into the idea of like, hey, let's have these people outside amidst the crowd while we just finished a lockdown and stuff like that. So it was really hard getting sources. So what I would do, I would put on a lav mic and sit in a train and go from one end of the station all the way to the next. And just like, as soon as I heard any semblance of like someone playing electric guitar, you could, if you were listening to my recording, because I recorded the whole journey, you would hear me suddenly like pant and run. I was like, oh my God, I hear music. And it turns out it's from like a fast food restaurant in the station.
It's some asshole playing it out of a speaker.
Oh my God. Yeah.
What about you? Why? Like, because there was a couple things you could have joined, I guess, Christina.
Yeah.
Why did you choose the podcast?
I love podcasts. I wasn't always into them. And then recently at my job, I work in like a warehouse. So there's no customers.
Work in a warehouse. What are you?
So you guys know West 49?
Are you like the Saw guy?
You know West 49?
Oh my God. The store that's like always having like 50% off
so
sales.
I work in the warehouse that ships the online orders.
Oh my
gosh. So I work there and there's no customers. So we get to listen to our own music all day. And there's only so much music you can listen to in 8 hours before you like lose your mind. So I was like, let me find some podcasts. So I started listening to podcasts and I really liked them. And then I've always wanted to do my own podcast and because I like to talk. And I think they're just so fun. And so when I found out that you guys were doing one and that there was a position open, I was like, this is perfect because I've always wanted to try it out and see what it would be like. So I thought that would be really fun. And yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So one of my favorite podcasts, this is like, I'm a journalist and I don't listen to a ton of journalism podcasts. I listen to a lot of comedy ones. One of my favorites is, you guys know Cody Ko?
Yes.
He has a solo podcast and I really like it. And there was like one of his most recent episodes, he was like talking about podcasting logistics and he was like, it's hilarious right now that I'm podcasting about podcasting. And that's this entire episode for us. But I mentioned that not only to talk about myself, but like, do you guys have any favorites? Like, did we have any inspiration drawn from anywhere? Like, I'm a big comedy podcast guy. I listen to Al Jazeera's daily podcast. But other than that, I don't listen to a ton of news podcasts, which is kind of shameful.
The journalism police is going to come knocking
down. No, literally, it's Bill.
You're out.
Yeah, I have one. Choices. You guys know Penn Badgley from
Yes.
You? He does this.
He
does this podcast with, I think, just two of his friends. It's called Pod Crushed, where they interview like celebrities. So they've interviewed Iowa Debris and like those kind of celebrities. Her. And it's basically a whole podcast about your middle school days. And like a question that they ask is like, who was your first love and why did you fall in love? Like they like really dig deep into like their old days and like, it's like a really good conversation. So I really like that. And then there's this other one that I listen to a lot. It's basically, it's kind of this, but instead of journalism, it's pop culture. They basically rewatch their favorite show and like critique the entire episode.
I love when people do that.
So I listened to the one for this show called Dawson's Creek. So they will like, they will like listen to the whole thing.
Don't even.
And then I've literally listened to almost every single episode. It's so good. It's called Dawson's Critique. It's so good. And so that's what I listen to at work all the time. And I think it's so fun that you could just like talk about your interests and people will listen because they also are interested in those things.
Yeah.
Touched upon this in the last episode with Ivor, our first years in journalism.
Oh my God.
It's kind of like middle school.
Okay, this kind of, I mean, it wasn't middle school. It was like a late high school.
Right.
Okay, so I have a long history with the TMU journalism program. In seventh grade, I took a quiz on a website called Career Cruising. And it took, you remember that? You had to do that? Yeah. Yep. My teacher made us do it, and it said I should be a journalist. And I was like, okay.
No,
done.
Say no more.
Say less. Say less. And so I searched up like best journalism programs in Canada and I saw the TMU one and I was like, I'm doing this. This is 100% what I'm doing. That was also, see, I'm going to say this because I don't have any shame. In those days, I wrote a lot of fan fiction. Mm-hmm. I thought I was going to be a creative writer, like an author. I suck at creative writing. It's really bad. And so I found the journalism program and I was like, okay, I can still write. It just doesn't have to be about Attack on Titan characters. Putting myself on blast here. But like, I don't know. I found out about it when I was really young. And so I kind of just worked towards it. Like most of high school, like I knew, I always knew. I was like, I took classes that aligned with it. I guess shouts out Career Cruising. If you don't know what you want to do, take that quiz. They nailed me on the head.
That's so funny because I also wrote fan fiction.
So did
oh
I.
My gosh.
The fan fiction to journalism
common link
pipeline
between the
is
three
so
of us.
Real.
Like, it was like, well, I hate you. I'm mentioning it now because it shows growth. That's the most important part here. And yeah, when it came to writing, I remember because the reason why I even took journalism, my eldest sister actually knew a friend of a friend that was in the journalism program at TMU, and we set up a quick little interview. I guess that was my first pseudo interview as a journalist, but like, it wasn't good. But they did some convincing. I think one of the biggest things they mentioned was that you don't have to become a journalist after you graduate. There's like so many fields that you could, there's so many things you could do after journalism that the program helps you with. And that's been coming up a lot recently in this fourth year, which is, I don't know, maybe it's like it was foreshadowing or something. Because I remember I was fact-checking someone. I believe her name was Maya Seibel. I forgot it was for one of our stories. And then she mentioned, I was asking her a question, and then she went on to say, like, the beauty about journalism is that there's so many things you could do after. You don't want to feel confined towards writing news stories, writing hard news stories, being an anchor and stuff like that. There's so many skills in the field that you learn that could be applied to so many things that you're really limiting yourself by believing journalism is just one simple thing as just telling the news and stuff like that.
Yeah, that is a big thing. I was talking to one of the chefs at my work, and I think his daughter or his niece or something went to journalism school, and he was like, yeah, she works in PR now. Like, there's right. like a whole host of stuff you can do.
I think it brings up the question of like, was there something you wish people told you in your first year of journalism that you wish were told sooner? For me, I'm setting it up for myself, really. Because in first year, we had this huge journalism group chat on WhatsApp.
Oh my god, yes. I remember
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it somehow had, no, we're not going to go into that. We're not spilling tea.
Yeah, let's not rehash that.
Yeah.
But yeah, and I think at some point someone said, I think they were going on a rant about like, if you're in journalism and you're not passionate about journalism, what the hell are you doing here?
Oh.
And I read that in first
fucking
year.
Fucking Joe Rogan of the journalism group chat, like what?
Throughout until like, I don't know, months ago, that message was ingrained in my brain for so long where I'm just like, oh my God, what am I doing here and stuff? What am I going to do after? Because if I'm not passionate about like telling hard news and stuff like that, is this really the program for me? And there's like so many points where I'm like, I should probably switch out to like RTA. Yeah. And apparently, because a lot of people do that from journalism to RTA media. And what really helped me was that in the review room, I think this was like before winter break, someone said those exact words, but not like they're saying it to someone, they were just quoting it, where it's like, and then what they said after was like, if you say that, if you're not passionate in journalism, what the hell are you doing here? That's not really fair.
Yeah.
That's not fair at all. And I was like, yeah, why didn't I think of that sooner?
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Also, like, what are you, the university police? Major police? Like, I'm paying to be here. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Like,
for me, while you were talking, I actually thought of one. I think for me, what something I wish someone would have told me is that you don't have to have a specialty. Is kind of going back to last episode too, because Ivor was talking about specialties. It's like you don't have to have a specialty right away, because I remember in first year there were so many people in our year who knew exactly what they wanted to do.
That's crazy,
right?
Yeah.
At the beginning, and I was like, I have no idea, and to be honest, still don't really have a firm idea. And so I really wish someone would have just been like, it's okay. And they do tell you that it's okay, but I feel like you don't really believe them, especially when everyone else around you already knows what they want to do.
Yeah.
And it can be really stressful because you're like 18 and everyone's like, when I graduate, I'm going to work here and here and here. And I'm like, don't know. Good luck with that though. And so I really wish someone would have said that to me.
Yeah. I don't know. I wish someone told me that you're not going to be good when you start. Like that it doesn't matter how much you read before you start writing. You're not going to be good in first year. Like, it's not going to be your best work. Some of it is going to be crap. And, like, that's how you learn. Like, you have to practice to get better. And I remember being like, oh, my God, this sucks. I can't write a lead. Oh, no, I don't know how to write a deck. And, like, I couldn't in first year. They all sucked. But, like, I learned now. Like, you're not going to be good right away when you start. Like, you need to write some crappy stories and do some subpar reporting to like learn, like just to learn how to do it correctly and what works for you. And it's just, you're not going to be good when you start.
It's okay if you're bad.
Yes, exactly. Like, especially if it's for story day, for example, not to give anyone like traumatic shivers.
Back to story day.
It's not getting published. Right. It's literally exclusively just to learn with. Like, it's just send to your professor and have them tell you if it's right or wrong. Mm-hmm. You don't need to be changing lives with your first year hard news pieces. Like, it's for you.
Especially if you don't want to go into hard news, because I remember writing hard news and being like, the stories were important that I was writing, but I just wasn't passionate about writing them. Like,
yeah.
I was like, this is good. Like, I did a lot of mine on events because that's the
Me
only
too.
Thing we had.
And that's literally the only guidelines they gave us.
Eventbrite carried so hard.
Oh, like, my God.
Really bad.
It's really just because the first 2 years, especially, we're focused on those hard news, and it takes, you have to like survive that. Yeah, you have to survive that part until you get the option to be like, okay, now we're going to branch off and you can figure out what you want to do. Because you get introduced to a lot of stuff in third year, like video.
Yeah.
What else?
Podcast.
Magazine. Yeah, magazine editing.
Yeah,
too.
I took my photojournalism class in third year.
Photojournalism too. Like,
there's fashion.
Yep. Fashion, there's like a bunch of stuff. It's, third year was so much better than first and second.
I think my favorite course was, and I think Hannah, you took the opposite, the other version of it was the magazine editing workshop.
Yeah.
I took it last year, in third Same. Year. It was so good. It was so much fun
because
you really got, from start to finish, you got to make your own magazine about what you were passionate about and what you liked. And also our teacher, Laura Hensley, shout out, she brought in like guest speakers every week to talk to us about the magazine industry and all the different types of roles that you can have and everything like that. And I really learned so much. And I think it really did prepare me for the review when I came to the review.
Big time.
Because mm-hmm. you learn about the difference between like a feature and a front of book and like all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. So and like production schedule stuff.
Yes.
Oh my God. Exactly. It was such a big help. I had Eternity for that class, which was awesome. She was awesome. And she was actually the one who told me about the review. And okay. Oh. Shouts out to her. This was great for my confidence. She told me to go for editor. Like in chief.
Oh,
and I was like, that's not going to happen because I'm undergrad and there's master students. And also, no.
Yeah.
But like, thank you. But that, yeah, that class was so beyond helpful. I loved it. It was so much fun. I also liked, I mean, okay, I loved my photojournalism class. I'm ass at photography. I'm so bad. But it was so much fun. Like, there's nothing quite like I went on vacation that year, and it was like middle of that photography class, so I brought it with me. I was in New York, and I was walking around New York for 5 days with this rented out camera, and I was like, oh my God, I'm so quirky. I'm a journalist in New York. I'm Anne Hathaway in The Devil Wears Prada. Click, click, click. They were all so mediocre, but photography is so much fun.
Yeah.
It's so fun. Like, I'm glad I know how to handle a camera now. I'm definitely no photojournalist, mm-hmm. but like, it was just, I like those classes where you can just like pick up a skill.
Yeah.
Right, like, because it's good. You need to have it.
Yeah. But. And it's so nice. I took photojournalism too. And there's so many times
with
I'm
Gary?
Like, no, not with Gary. It was
Gary.
With one of the newer profs at the time. Marta Iwanek.
Mm. Oh.
Yeah, she was super nice. And she really was like, she understood, like, yeah, most of us don't know how to handle a camera. It created a lot of, scenarios where you took a picture, it was probably the most mediocre thing you've ever seen, but you're like, yeah, I did that.
Yep, exactly. Like, it would be like, whoa, is this fierce? Is this awesome? Like, I took a picture of a bird taking off, and I was like, oh my God, I am a wildlife photographer.
Submitted to National Geographic.
No, literally.
Cover it.
You guys need this.
If we had to leave one piece of advice to
next year's masthead.
I was up to whoever's listening, but
okay, fine.
One is more believable than the other, I guess.
No, I feel like next year, if they continue to your journalist, next year's masthead might listen to this to understand what it is that we did here.
You better be. Hit my LinkedIn if you get this far into Dear Journalist, so I know you listen.
What'd you ask?
It was, if you had to leave one piece of advice to either students, like first-year students just going into the journalism program, or just journalists in general, emerging journalists.
I was actually thinking about this earlier because I feel like that was one of the questions that we were going to ask, and I think mine would be just to literally try everything. Even if you think you're not going to like it, just try it. And like, it goes back to what I was saying, like, I'm not a huge video person with like cameras and stuff like that, but I didn't know that until I tried it. And then I realized, oh, this is actually not what I'm super interested in, but at least I know that now because I tried it. And they do tell you that in first year, but I feel like I personally didn't really listen because I was like, yeah, whatever. But I think now being here for 4 years, I realized if you try everything, at least you know that.
You know what you don't like.
Yeah, you know what you don't like, you know what you do like. Like, for example, I didn't know that I enjoyed writing about, like, tech and business and medicine until I tried it. And now I do enjoy it. And I think if you just try, then you know.
Mm-hmm. It's only as fun as you can make it.
Yeah.
Like, it's up to you to be like, okay, I want to do this and not just do what I expect journalism is supposed to be.
Yeah.
You need delusion. Delusion. Oh. Because self-confidence is one of the most important things. And it is so hard to be 17, 18 and have self-confidence and also to be in a program like this and off the hop be like, I can pitch. People will accept me. Mm. My writing is good. Like, you kind of need a little bit of that delusion of like, I'm good enough. I can. This story is going to be great. People are going to get back to me. And like, you really need to kind of be your own biggest fan because like, it's hard. Like, who was it that said, it was Ivor, I think.
Literally last
Literally, like, it's hard. It's hard. It's never going to get easy. It's always going to be hard. So you need to be your own biggest fan. And sometimes that requires a little bit of delusion of you being like, I can do this. I can do this because I think I can. Yeah. And because I'm smart enough and I'm the best and I'm talented. Like, sometimes you really just need to lie to yourself to succeed.
Well, I don't think it's like, really, it's not fake it till you make it, because at some point you're going to reach that idea of yourself
And you're
going
to get to that point where it's not fake anymore.
Right.
That was profound. Should we be therapists?
Maybe.
This has been Dear Journalist for the Review of Journalism. For more episodes, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. While you're there, check out Reviewed. It's a celebration of 40 years of the Review of Journalism, with conversations from feature writers and emerging journalists.
Make sure that you also pick up a copy of the 40th anniversary issue of the Review of Journalism, available on newsstands across Canada in April 2024. You can head to reviewofjournalism.ca to find out more. For extra online content, you can also connect with the Review on X and TikTok. I'm Christina Appa.
I'm Hannah Mercanti.
I'm Yasuo Ho. Thank you to all of the incredible journalists for sharing your stories and wisdom with us.
And thank you, dear journalist, for listening.